it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Here we are. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office just filed a 9-page brief laying out in public for the first time exactly what they say David, D4VD, David Anthony Burke, did to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. Not a leak, not an unnamed source. Deputy DA Beth Silverman put her name on it, and what it describes isn't just an alleged murder, it's an alleged cover-up that prosecutors say started within minutes of Celeste's arrival at Burke's Hollywood Hills home and stretched on 4 months, staged text messages, a fake name on Amazon orders, 3 trips to a remote highway in the middle of the night and a teenage girl's body left to decompose in a Tesla parked just around the corner. We're going to go through all of it today. As promised, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. And Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI Special Agent. Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer, the podcast. Get it wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. As promised, I've been excited to have both of you on here to break all this down, because when this thing came out yesterday, Yeah, no kidding.
The emails flying back, because Tony forwarded us all the court docs last night. And I was like, oh my God.
I did a piece on it yesterday. I just read through it verbatim. And there's so many times I went through it. I'm like, Coffendaffer was right on that. Coffendaffer was right on this. Coffendaffer, because you really have called most of this for what it is. It really kind of has been Occam's razor on this one, where it's like, if it looks like it, it probably is. And it seems like it was.
I'm gonna poke at you a little, Jen. I think it's even worse than you thought it was.
Could be.
Oh my God. He is horrible.
I mean, prosecutors say Burke texted Celeste's phone at 10:30 p.m. asking where she was. He was doing the classic, oh, I just killed her, but if I call her phone, it couldn't possibly be me because I'm wondering where she is. That's my alibi. At least that's what the attempt was. They're calling it premeditative cover for the story. Let's start there, Jen, as we look at the initial blueprint here and what the prosecution is bringing. That's one of many. What stood out to you right away on this thing?
Well, I first want to say, Tony, that and to Robin, too, you know, humanity is good, and you two are so good. And even with all you see and have seen, unless you're knee deep in these violent crimes for 30 years in the muck,
it, you know.
So I just want to say, to me, it's a testament to the human condition that you all bring forward here. I wish I had that back.
I'm amazed that I don't know. Like I normally am pretty dark on this. I don't know why I didn't go that way with it. But
I was going with the age level. It was just hard to imagine, you know, again, with no priors and at that age level, again, and so here's just a great example of, and to your point, Jen, confirmation bias. You know, if you didn't spend 30 years looking at the horrendous things at all ages, you know, my confirmation bias isn't going to naturally bring me. Not that you had confirmation bias, you had reps in it. And for me, it was, I hadn't seen enough of morons in their teens and early 20s doing really, really horrendous things. Generally, that doesn't come out from the things I've seen until like Koberger age, you know, like we're talking mid to late 20s, early 30s for their super horrendous. And at that point, there's already some reps. There's some issues with law enforcement potentially or friends and family are seeing shit. There's an arc going on in there. But this was like zero to super stupid.
Yeah. Super murderous. You know, as far as what stood out, certainly the luring, even though I think he'd have to lure her, right? I mean, you know, to a degree. You know, the pregnancy thing, the pregnancy slash abortion thing, that was something that we had actually talked about.
Yeah. And
I don't know if you remember, but it would have been surprising for that not to be in the layout of all of this, honestly. People were surprised about the abortion thing, thinking she needs permission. In California and in several states, but certainly in California, and I looked up the law, there is absolutely zero requirement that you have a elder sign off on anything, any minor, 12, 13, whatever, and there's no duty to report. So you can get an abortion at will.
Wow.
Yeah. There is a lot of things in here that make you go, How did they pull this off? How did they pull that off? One of the things that stood out to me a bit was him traveling and I guess allegedly taking her out of the country on some of his trips. Again, she's missing, but kind of not missing at the same time. International travel with a minor. You're not her parent. Getting on airplanes, getting off airplanes. I'm guessing they're not necessarily flying a private jet across the ocean. There's security checkpoints, things of that nature that are checked to make sure you're with who you're supposed to be with. And I guess it just show that just a quick nod of, yes, this is who I'm supposed to be with is all it takes to do this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, these red flags that I would have as a parent if I were to think, if my daughter, who's the same age, were to be abducted and somebody's going to try and get out of the country with her, it's pretty easy to get on a flight, I guess, and get out of the country without anybody really double checking a whole lot, as long as she nods and says, I'm going along with it. I mean, I guess that's what I'd be taking out of this.
Yep, that's exactly, you know, nothing. Unfortunately, everything's pretty porous, I think, unfortunately, when it comes to minors. You know, and could she have had, obviously she had a passport.
Yeah. So
passport, but anybody can get a passport.
Thing that got me with the passport and everything, though, because one thing that keeps coming up a little bit is people saying, well, if she never told anyone her age, yeah, but if she's traveling, she's got a passport and it's good. People are going to notice. There's going to be a reaction when you hand a passport and you're that age to Customs and Border Patrol when you're crossing borders, inside, outside, upside down. You're going to get a pause. Then they're going to look around. I mean, I've been through it. I know you've been through them a lot. A lot of people have been through these things a lot. There should have been a pause. And it's not like she's going to be alerting herself because she's there voluntarily. She wants to be there. But again, it's going to alert everyone in that entourage that, yes, she is that age. She is underage. So there's no excuses on that. And I know people keep harping on her family and what they didn't do to try to find her. But at the same time, I keep coming back to his. Where were his? You know, because he is a very, very young person and with zero guardrails going on. And I saw that she met his parents. Where the hell are the questions? You know, Tony and I were talking this before we started, you know, because we have kids. You have kids. when your son starts dating someone, and even reverse it with your daughter, one of the first questions we continually ask with my son, especially my son, was, tell me about your girlfriend. How old is she? And if he didn't know, then you better damn find out. Then you ask, well, what grade is she in? What's she start? I mean, you start interrogating, making sure that their dumb mind isn't doing dumb things by accident. In this case, there is zero people asking zero questions. So what's the probability of no one knowing? I'm telling you, it's next to zero.
Why?
What are your thoughts, Jen? I mean, as far as other folks being aware of what was going on here, I mean, we're just at the very beginning of all this now, knowing the gravity as to what all went on. Do you buy that there was no one that did they sell this well enough that she was this 19-year-old USC student and no one was the wiser except for David and Celeste?
There's no way I buy that. No way. Especially now that we know about the travel, there's no way. I didn't even buy it before. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that he bragged about it. I wouldn't doubt that we see testimony come out about that.
Yeah.
I think people knew, but it's in their best interest to say they didn't know.
Is it financial? Is that because he's the cash cow? So don't interrupt the cash cow. Because my next question is, what kind of human beings are okay with that? I mean, who's going, oh, well, that's okay, other than you're getting a payday? I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like that would be instant red flag, instant ick, instant what the hell's going on here. But it seems there's a lot of folks potentially that were not disgusted by this proposition.
Well, I always have said it's odd to me that this manager was on the stand for 3 days. It's basically unheard of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he got a litany of all these questions that you're asking. How could you not know, you know, all the signs were there, blah, blah. And so, you know, now I'm sort of seeing more of the fact pattern that they were trying to get out of him and why it was taking so long. I'm sure he has all the excuses. As for the family, no, sorry, that wasn't a good impression. That was my cash cow move. I do much better with sheep and goats. He's the cash cow, period. And you see these families just completely look away when it comes to who's bringing in the bucks.
The almighty green, man. So when I read the court doc, it looked like, I mean, they're really focusing on him and his actions. Do you think there's going to be... Because again, it's hard to imagine not more people knowing, obviously, and then what you're just saying about, you know, the manager. Do you think there's going to be more people that we're going to see charges against or that were flipped? Because I thought there was going to be more at the beginning. But again, reading that doc last night, it's like, wow, they're really singling on him very, very thoroughly.
And I will say that's actually what I tweeted about this document. That's the one with Tony, when you asked that, that's what I should have said at first. The number one thing, the facts, that was pretty much, for the most part, expected. But I'm wondering, why don't we hear or see anybody else mentioned? I just don't believe a rubber, pool and then blood and helping dispose and the chainsaw. Was he smart enough to keep it that small? Was he smart enough?
There's not a lot of smart going on here, with so much of this. I said in my piece yesterday, I said the underlying line that's going to go through all this is dipshit, because, it really is. I mean, every single move here is idiotic. And he orders a shovel from Home Depot. He goes to Amazon and gets a burn cage and two chainsaws. I mean,
fake name to his own address.
It's comically bad. It's like, what's the worst things you can do right now to have someone look at you suspiciously or eventually when they start looking around the people of this missing girl? I know. Let's buy a chainsaw and a burn cage and a shovel. It just stupidity across the board. But then it also tells you something, too. There is no one, as Robin would say, there's no loving critic here saying, I don't know, maybe we should go to a garage sale and get that shovel. Maybe we shouldn't have a trail with us. It makes me wonder how much of this was 100% done by him and concealed by him, or the level of detail that we have in this doc also tells me there's a lot of people that's probably are telling stories on David.
Well, as I said, I'll be shocked if there's not somebody inconclusiveness. Yeah. You just knocked me over with a feather. But this document certainly doesn't give us any inkling as anybody else. Nick squarely pinned on David.
Yeah. And here's the other thing that was, again, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep harping on the stupidity of this. So here's an individual and a group of individuals that are really, really into dark themes, obviously, from the lyrics to their lifestyle, from all these things they're doing. Isn't this the kind of people that actually might watch some true crime? That actually might? I mean, we hit this all the time about the stupid things that these people do and get caught doing, and all they'd have to do is watch even just one episode of any true crime, and they'd be like, oh, wow, I can do that a lot better. But these people in particular, this is what they're into, and they completely did the most dumb things on the face of the planet. I mean, you could go on and on. I mean, who doesn't like watch the Koberger case stuff and all the stupid? I mean, and he was kind of better at it, but they did worse than Koberger on like when Koberger was like hiding his evidence in baggies and putting in the neighbor's trash. Yeah, like the FBI is not going to check the neighbor's trash; you're just going to check yours. I mean, you see that kind of stuff, but this is even worse because I still can't get over the Amazon and the fake name to the same address. Oh, it blows your head.
And the pool.
You know, though,
body bags.
This guy did not watch true crime. This guy is true crime.
Yeah, great point.
This guy lives it, he breathes it, he dreams about it, he fantasizes about it. You see it in his lyric, you see it in his videos. That's what I think. I think he's probably never watched any true crime anything.
And Mark Fry's got a really good point here. I'll be honest, even with watching hours of these shows, I still don't think I could pull it off. Yes, because you're smart, Mark, because it's the same thing. As soon as you start going down the road of here's how I would mitigate this, and here's what they could do against it, you quickly come up with the conclusion, you really shouldn't be doing this because I'm going to be caught. And there you go. And therein lies the stupidity of this guy and many others.
Jen, the evidence in this is so overwhelming. There's so much of it. And maybe this is the answer to my question. Why did it take so long to get an arrest here on this guy? Because it looks like, holy shit, like any one of these things you could have locked him up for very early on in this. And it looks like some of this they did have early on, but they kept collecting. And they certainly came in with, I mean, what appears on the surface is a pretty rock solid case. But again, why wait so long to make the arrest?
Well, a few points on this. So this is what's interesting. The only reason that I was on this from day one, the only reason was KTLA. I was just doing my morning scrub and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's another poor girl dismembered, or I thought she was dismembered in the front trunk, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was David. Nobody knew this was anything other than some other, you know, just your average miscellaneous girl. And I remember a lot of my followers were like, Jennifer, why is this so special? I said, everyone's special, right? I was just pointing that out. But my point is, talking to your longevity of the case, they didn't even know who she was. Uh-huh. Then that shush tattoo, which was attached, by the way, it's the David finger that was cut. The other finger was cut for jewelry. But nevertheless, that shush, that's how she was identified through the mom. So now you've got your hands full because you have somebody that gone since April, found in September, months of decomposition. You're just trying to make heads or tail. Was this, you know, a drug overdose? All the things we talk about, right? And then now finally you have her identified. You have all this. You've got the David aspect. There was so much to go through, though, in terms of video evidence. You know how we talked about that David's life was not in reality. His life was on a computer screen. He talks about it, his friends, his life. That's really what he did. Even his music, even though he was touring as of late, most all of his millions and millions of dollars are these streams that he does with his music. That's where he put all of his money. And so LA has their own amazing forensic lab. I don't think they use the Bureau. They had to go through all of that, though. They wanted a solid case because once you indict, the ticker starts. If somebody says, we're waiving our speedy trial, now you're hosed. So they needed to make sure they had all of that video and digital evidence lined out before they press charges. That's my opinion, how, why they waited so long.
Yeah, it makes sense when you think about how long it took to do the ID in the body and then the medical examiner because of the state of decomposition. I mean, so yeah, I mean, it lines up. It makes sense. But what a tremendous document they put together indicting him.
A lot of moving pieces. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear them.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
All right, Monday morning Q&A. We are going to be going over three cases today. David, we're also going to be talking about Koberger. We're also going to be talking about the Delphi situation and the latest there. So be sure to drop your questions in the comment section as we work through this on Substack, YouTube, Facebook, X, wherever you may be watching us live. And thank you over the weekend. If you drop those, we're going to try and get to as much as we possibly can today. We're going to start with the David case this morning. Everything about this case gets heavier, it seems, by the day. The People's Brief made public what prosecutors say David Anthony Burke did to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. That came out last week. If you've not seen that or read that, oh my goodness, we got videos on it, reading directly through it, breaking it down. Go back in the archive just last week and you can get all of that. There's so much in this. The alleged calculation, the staged text, the fake name, the months that passed while a 14-year-old girl's body sat in a parked Tesla and cooked. And the man prosecutors say put her there, went on tour, did radio interviews, threw an album release party, and behind all of it, a child who was 11 years old when she met him. Your questions have been pouring in since it dropped, so we're going to try and get to those. Joining me, as always, to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Let's jump into it. Let's start here. It just kind of gets to the behavior. And I think a lot of people are just trying to wrap their mind around this guy, Robin. He allegedly went on an album, album release party, had an album release party the night after prosecutors believe she was murdered. Like nothing happened. The question is quite simple. What kind of person does that?
Psychopath. I mean, literally, it's just psychopathy. And I want to say just psychopathy. But again, it's not a licensed clinician. We haven't seen any testing on him, but some that can compartmentalize. And I don't even like the word compartmentalize because it's not like it's all wrapped up into one for people like this. It's just like Gilgo Beach, you know, and Rex Heuermann, you know. Asa thought, you know, that's not the family man I know. I want to get to know the other guy. No, it's all one dude that was just faking it in front of you. Same thing here. This guy just has zero empathy for any other human being except himself, because no other human being can do what he did. This thing, as you said, it's getting darker and more twisted every single day. It's shocking. It's probably one of the most shocking cases outside of Maddie Soto that we've covered in my mind when it comes to just horrendous tragedy. And just stupidity. I mean, this is like one of the, I say this all the time, not one of these people that commits any horrendous crimes is smart. I don't care what their IQ says. They have zero emotional intelligence. And if they had any semblance of intelligence, and this guy's had enough, he's successfully making music. So what would make someone that is successfully making music do something so stupid? And not just the horrendous act of killing someone, innocent to proven guilty, the horrendous act of killing someone, but the method of it was like the dumbest way, the cover-up, everything. This is just like so idiotic what he did. And for what gain? Nothing except mental breakdown, dumb brain, broken brain.
I feel like we need another word for compartmentalization. Because it's like we all can compartmentalize things to a certain extent, and then there's some who can do it really well, and like that gets up there, you know, into like the narcissism world. This is like This is like lock boxes that are separated. I don't know what it is. It's so separated, and he has the ability to navigate his way going forward without recognizing, you know, I guess what the hell's in those compartments. And maybe that's the shocking part of compartmentalization for so many, is like, we think, you know, you can compartmentalize something, but it's still there. It's still over there. And the weight of the horrificness of it still shines through, even though it's compartmentalized over here. Whatever the hell he's doing, he's locking it off so good that he can show up to have parties and do this and that, like nothing is going on. Another thing that kind of came to mind here, thinking about The Day After, Corey Richens, another case that obviously we've talked about a lot.
Exactly.
The day after her husband died, she goes and she closes on that house. There's video of her. I mean, their friends had like a little celebration party, which number one to me seemed crazy because that was more than one. That was more than just her having a celebration there. There was like multiple friends like, hey, let's celebrate. Let's hang out and have drinks. Like her husband just died like the day before. And you're all like joking around the kitchen. Like what? There's something seriously wrong with these people or anybody that's able to move on from a tragic death and the next day you're having cocktails and living it up. I mean, I get when it's grandma and she's 95 and you're celebrating life, but not when unexpected your daughter or your girlfriend or your husband dies out of nowhere under suspicious circumstances.
You know, one of the psychs on my team years ago gave a great analogy, and I know I've used it here before and I'll use it again because I think it really fits, because we keep trying to put human conditions on inhuman people.
Yeah.
These people are not human. They are pure predator. And what I mean by that is, so let's do our little thought experiment. Think of a wolf, think of a lion, especially a wolf, because wolves kill for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if they're thirsty, they can go down to the water hole and drink amongst all the other animals that they're about to go kill free of emotion, because it's always just serves them. That's it. There's no compartmentalization with a wolf. They just are. They kill for pleasure. They kill for food. They kill for sport. They just kill, yet they can actually blend into the environment when they need to, because if they got to get some water, if they don't feel like killing today, that is the only analogy you can really use with the pure predator that is missing this. They're just missing the empathy gene. Or human connection, because they are just a predator that gets their dopamine fix and hit from the kill.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, and maybe that's something that we need to understand more with people. And we don't look at people that way. We look at wolves like he could be a predator. He could be, or he can be loving and kind and raising his cubs and pack and being good and surviving as a wolf would survive. I mean, more wolves, you know, are out there in the woods, in the forest, and far more never attack a person. Every once in a while, you get one that does. People are kind of the same way to a certain extent. I mean, I guess there's empathetic wolves, but you push any wolf to a breaking point or a threat.
Wolves are kinder.
They could be. I think you're right. I think wolves might be kinder. But it's kind of like that. People are really the same way. We are shocked all the time by people doing these sort of things. But, you know, we're not surprised when we see a wolf tore somebody apart. Should we really be that surprised when people are doing it? Where it's like, yeah, they're capable of that too. They're not all empathetic, kind, you know, hearted things.
Well, the good news is the majority of us are.
Yeah.
It's just the broken ones that when they're broken, they're broken. It's not even broken. It's just missing. The empathy is missing. That's why trying to figure out a psychopath, you're wasting your time. There's nothing to figure out because there's nothing there. They're not plotting. They're not strategizing. I mean, they are just living in the moment, and they'll strategize how to do things. But you can see some of the thought processes going on here. You know, Rex Humeran says it's his playtime. Who says that? Someone without empathy in his own house, 12 feet from or a couple feet from where his daughter's playing video games, is where he did all his kills.
Yeah.
And I mean, every single one of these wackadoos, nutters, is made exactly the same way. It's what they're missing, each one of them. And David, innocent to proven guilty, has exactly the same footprint that all the other ones did. And his immaturity, though, his age, and is really shining through with his immense stupidity. I mean, you and I were just reveling, thinking about this, you know, before we started. What moron buys a chainsaw to cut up a body? It flies everywhere. I'm just
someone who's never used a chainsaw, you know, like a 19-year-old.
Like,
you
know? Where did you? So he saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre and thought that was a good idea.
Or he played it, or he played with one in a video game once.
Things he did.
And just until a couple of weeks ago, your children could have been playing as David on Fortnite.
they probably still are.
That's the fun part. I wonder if you bought the skin, if you can still use that one, or if they're like, yeah, maybe.
Don't
this
even
is,
use that word. That might be, bought the skin.
That's whatever you call it, the avatar or whatever. Let's get another question here, and this is interesting because this. I'll read the question. Her parents took her phone away to protect her, and then he allegedly paid a kid at her school to deliver a new one, paid a kid allegedly $1,000 to give her a new cell phone because mom and dad did step up here in this, in one of the few ways, I will say, I'll give them some credit for, of parenting. The question from the listener is, how am I supposed to feel safe sending their own daughter to school? Be involved in your kid's life is the answer. Be present. Be aware. I'm still going through. I have a young teenager right now. Robin, you've gone through this. You've got them out of the house. They have survived and they have grown to adulthood. You've gone through all these years. How do you answer that?
Same what you just said. Communication. Every time. It's a tricky balancing act because every time something would come up that was potentially challenging, the only ones that would really get all my attention were the ones when we start dealing with potentially unhealthy people. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know there's unhealthy people yet until there is a wobble in the behavior of your child. And I mean, I am so hypersensitive to wobbles. And wobbles are a deviation from what you normally expect. Granted, teenagers have wobbles every single day, but those wobbles are going to hit a pattern as well. Yeah. But anytime you start seeing differences in communication that can't be attributed to something, bad grades at school, a typical teenage breakup or a typical teenage drama. But how do you know all that? Transparency. We got our kids in a pattern earlier in age because habits are always repeatable. And we got our kids in a habit of constantly sharing, even when they didn't feel like it, it's just constantly sharing. It's always a help me understand this. I always start out with the validation of saying, listen, help me understand. You've made a lot of great choices and you have a lot of really great friends in your life. And one of the things I value about you is all your friends. I enjoy knowing them, enjoy seeing them. Help me understand what you see here. I'm struggling to see what you see. I don't understand this behavior. Help me understand this behavior that they're doing and help me understand how this is good for you. I mean, it's always just curiosity. And if I didn't get an explanation that made sense with transparency and openness, then we had a different conversation. And it only happened once where it deviated into me pressing harder, and it was a struggle because the thing I'm always saying to myself at all, and whether it was with my kids or anything in life, is how is what I'm about to do or say going to help or hinder a healthy relationship? Because healthy relationship's going to win the day. If you have a healthier relationship with your kids where their dopamine is flowing at home, they're not going to need their dopamine flowing outside the house. Mm-hmm. So if you win the big four battle in their brain, endorphins, serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine at home, they don't have to get that fix outside the house. It's not said they're not going to have that. That's why we do sports. That's why we do theater. It's why we have all these great experiences. But the anchor of those emotions, those positive emotions where they feel safe, where they feel heard, and they feel valued and not judged, is home. Mm-hmm. That's how you have the communication you need to mitigate wobbles.
Yeah.
Long explanation. I know. I'm sorry, but
no, no, I agree.
Is the key.
And I will say this. I mean, because as a parent, I think the thing I think a lot of us were brought up with was, well, if something is being a hazard or something is troublesome, just take it away. That's what we had happen to us.
Dorks too.
but the thing is, I mean, at this day and age, not all the time it does. I mean, especially with devices like phones.
Yeah, they've
and
been
stuff.
Determined to use it. They're going to
use it. Well, they'll get one. They're mm-hmm. Someone will give them one. They will find one. They will buy one. Even like they will find a way. I mean, just think of how crafty everyone, like we've all been in our teen years. Like, that didn't go away. They're still crafty, craftier probably than we are. And they will find a way. So it's more so to me, like with a device, like my reaction, my knee jerk is always like, take it away. Like, wait a second, take a step back here, Tony. This is like the communication. Like this is the avenues to which they use it. If I take that away, I lose all control over that device and also intercepting any information that comes through it should I need to. I'm in the dark if I just take that away. They'll find another way that I really don't know anything about or may not know about. If I catch it, great. But if not, you're just creating more problems. If they need their device, they need their device. You can limit their device. There's all sorts of limitations you can put on this thing. But just taking it away doesn't necessarily usually solve the problem other than for that exact instant. If you can find a way to monitor that device, let them use it. But then you're getting the information as a parent as you need it, should there be anything questionable going on. You know, use the resources that are in existence out there to help figure out what's going on with your children and monitor as you see fit and as you need as a parent, rather than you're just putting up roadblocks. Sometimes I think when you're taking things like that away, then you are actually finding ways of dealing with the issue and trying to get ahead of it and find healing or inspiring them in some way, shape or form.
So I'm going to give you some Jedi level stuff that I was fortunate enough that wound up happening in our house and still does to this day with that kind of thing. Because you're right. If you say you can't, it's not going to stop anyone who says they want to.
Yeah.
We see this in murders. You know, I mean, you can protect a president. You can protect you can do anything you want. But if someone's been determined to do harm, they're going to do harm.
Yeah.
So the key is, how do you inspire them to not want to do harm? How do you inspire them to want to share? How do you inspire them to come up with a solution on their own? That's what I did. So I always came down to, as everyone on the show knows, I'm anti-nutter. I don't do crazy. I don't do crazy relationships. It's being around unhealthy people is the most draining experience in life, and I don't do it. And so anytime one of my kids or anyone in my life was having drama issues, what we had conversations about what causes drama. And what behaviors cause drama. And then so it was never a judge of this was right or this wrong or you can't do this and you can't see this person. It was just us assessing as a group, as a family, or the two of us, hey, let's take a look at this. Let's look at the data that you're collecting. Let's look at how do you feel? What is going on that makes you feel that way? Who is making you feel that way? That person? All right. So what do you want to do about it? What would make this better? Oh, it's the social networking that's doing it. All right, so you tell me, is that something you need help with? Or do you need to use me as an excuse with your friends that you can't do this because my dad said I can't do this? What do you need me to do to be a resource in your life to give you permission to get rid of the drama that's making you feel this way? Because it's a choice. Do you want to feel this way? No? What can we do about it? Yeah. And it was team, and I never took anything away from my kids. I didn't have to. Yeah. They made the choice. They need to cut something out. I became a resource for them, an excuse. I remember every time my kids would go to a potential party or a get together, my wife and I told our kids, hey, if you need to make a phone call and tell them that my parents are angry, you know, if you need to make us the excuse why you don't feel comfortable to leave, we're here.
Yeah.
So it's always just a deep conversation about what you're feeling, what you're going through, what the solution could be, and what can we do together to mitigate it so you're not put in that position.
Harper's used me as an excuse before too. She's been on the phone like, oh, my dad says, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I never said this. And then she hangs up. She's like, no, it's fine. Like, I know that. But she's like, I wanted it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. She's like arrives to that sometimes by herself.
It's a team. It's a team. Yeah. You know, I say this with my kids all the time. I'm their chief of staff. Once they hit the age where they decided what it is they wanted to do for their own prosperity in life, my job is to help them get there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the snowplow. I'm not the helicopter. I'm the guy behind the scenes that said, this is the destination you set. I'm going to be your loving critic and ask the questions about what you're doing. About what you're doing, is this helping or hindering you getting from point A to point B, the choice that you made? And if you don't like it, then choose a different choice. If you don't want me as your chief of staff, that's fine too. I am here to support you in the decisions you're making on the healthy path and road that you're trying to forge. If I see wobbles, I'll point out the wobble. If you don't want me to, I won't do that as well. It always comes back to, I am their greatest fan, their greatest advocate, and their chief of staff. And they feel guilty when they don't share stupid shit with me. And that's what keeps these wobbles from happening. I don't sweat it. I look forward to deep conversations when things go sideways. I don't look forward to the pain they go through, but we don't think of it as pain anymore either. These are life reps. This is going to be a great rep. We're going to take something great from this. And I guarantee you, you know, to either my kids, you won't do this the same way the second time. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Robin's latest book, by the way, It's Not All About Me, available.
On Self-Help Mondays.
On Self-Help Mondays, yes. Available wherever you get books. Go check it out. Your thoughts there in Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.